Welcome back to another episode of This Is Your Show, a podcast for people who just need a place to vent about their issues or chat with somebody. For people who are experiencing hardship or success, a place where people can feel safe to come and celebrate their winnings, as well as ask for help while they feel they are not winning so much. I've been both high and I've been low, but what got me through both of those experiences was the people that love me and support me. If you feel like you don't have that in your life, I'm extending an invite to be your friend or just somebody to listen. Let's get started. Today is September 11th. 19 years ago today, the world changed. I remember where I was, and anybody who is old enough to remember anything, I'm sure they all remember where they were that day. I was supposed to just do a regular podcast recording with Ian Cahill today, but New York is his home. And we decided to turn the music off and just pay tribute to the fallen and to pay respects to those who survived the attacks in New York. And to just listen to his recollection and how it affected his life moving forward as it changed every single one of ours going forward. This is a remote access from my sister's house. So it's unlike any episode of This Is Your Show that I've done before. But we felt that it was very imperative that we pay tribute to those lives that we lost 19 years ago today. So without further ado, here's my friend Ian.
Today is raw, live, it's going straight up because this is a pretty important day for a lot of people. So many of our lives have changed since this day 19 years ago. And I remember where I was, but I also remember I didn't even know what the World Trade Center was.
Oh, really?
Just starting grade 12.
I mean, you're in Canada, so I mean, that makes sense. You know, as a New Yorker, I don't even think about that, how, like, you know, people would even know what the Twin Towers are.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so iconic in my life. You know, I was born in the Bronx at Einstein Hospital. So, like, you know, I lived there for like 6 years. Then my parents brought me upstate, but my family's always down there. And I was going to school in Manhattan for audio engineering. And I was supposed to start an internship right when that happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow. So you weren't living in New York the day it happened, or you were living there?
I'm not in the city. I was living in Dutchess County, which is in the mid-Hudson Valley of New York. Because, you know, New York has the Hudson River that runs through it.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, my county is in the midsection of that river. But my father, he worked at Bellevue. He actually worked for NYU, the university, as a teacher for radiology. And, you know, he would be in the hospital as the head radiologist. So he ran the whole entire radiology department. And conveniently enough for him, he was on vacation doing a two-week hiking trip. Thankfully, he wasn't there. I mean, Bellevue Hospital didn't get harmed. That's where everyone went, though, because it was the closest hospital to it. So, you know, like, when he came back, oh, man, there's horror stories that, you know, like, because, you know, they were pulling people out for
weeks after. Like, weeks,
months,
man.
Months.
Yeah, like, it was ridiculous. It
months, just man.
Didn't stop. And, it breaks my heart to know how, I don't even know how to say that. Like, yeah, like yesterday, that post I tagged you in, you know, 3,000 some people went to bed tonight for the last time. And it's such a grand scale that, you know, someone from Canada can't wrap his head around. I have a buddy who's a volunteer firefighter, and his dad is a chief, and him and his dad and their crew from DC, they all went down to New York to offer their help. And so, you know, that's about the closest experience or conversation I ever had to anybody, but you see it on the news. And like, I remember I worked at a grocery store at that time, and I bought every single magazine that had all the imagery and the pictures. And I set my VCR on slow record for 4 weeks. I must have 10 VHS tapes with 6 hours of CNN and the original footage.
Yeah. Everything, right?
And so I was just captivated by this thing that was happening in my time, you know. And when mom's like, oh my god, there's another plane, I'm like, would you shut up, I'm trying to sleep. Like, I was in my room, I had no idea what was happening.
Dude, yeah, it was like, what, 9 maybe close to 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm asleep. My sister's boyfriend comes running in my room. He doesn't even knock. He just comes running in my room. He goes, Ian, wake up, wake up. They're gone. They're gone. I'm like, what? What's gone? He goes, the towers, they're gone. They're gone, dude. Turn on your TV right now. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I turn it on. I'm like, what? Is this like a TV show? Is this a movie? Like this? No, this isn't happening. You know, because we're not used to that. Like, you know, that was like the first like big, you know, like thing that ever happened in my lifetime on my home territory, you know, in my country, you know, like.
Right on your front door. Like, yeah, right on your door.
You know, I mean, that shit was like crazy. You know, like, that doesn't happen. You know, that doesn't happen in America. You know, like, you know, you just raise with that mentality because it's always we're going to the other country to fight. You know?
That's right. That's right. And it doesn't ever happen here. It always happens on TV over there.
Right.
You know, right. You'll just watch it over there and then you can turn it off and go home and go to bed. Right.
And I couldn't even turn it off because where my dad, he wasn't home often, right? So he was like, I don't want to pay for TV. So we have an antenna, right? So we didn't have cable TV. All I had was basic network television. And all of the basic network televisions, ABC, Fox, all CBS, all of their antennas were on top of the World Trade Center.
Oh, wow.
Didn't have TV.
Holy crap. Like, I knew there were antennas up there because you see that antenna go down when the roof
falls.
I didn't know what they served.
Yeah, you know, so, and then, like, you know, they quickly got that back up, right? And then for months, all I had was 9/11 coverage. There was no, you know, there was like, I think maybe Channel 9, I forget what network it is. I think maybe they like still did regular broadcasting of their regular shows. But other than that, like everyone was just constant coverage of 9/11 where it got to the point where I was like, I can't take this anymore. And I had a VHS of like these, of The Simpsons, Futurama, those, you know, three shows that were like really popular there. So I would just start watching that VHS over and over again because there was nothing else to watch, you know, and it's like, yeah. And it's like that Christmas episode for Futurama where, you know, has Gary Numan in it. And, you know, he's singing, like, that whole episode, I've watched that so many times, and it's directly connected to 9/11 where I can't watch it anymore.
Wow.
You know, because that's all I would watch.
Yeah. And you know, so it brings that all back, that whole time, the energy from that time. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. But, man, you know, like, I was, 19 years old, waking up and seeing people jumping out of a building, you know, and then the second plane hit, like, it was, like, almost, like, I didn't even, like, see it happening. Like, I was watching the TV as it was happening, and I was like, wait a minute, huh? Another one? And then I'm like, Mom, we're going to war. Like, we're all gonna, like, die. We gotta get out of here. Like, where do we go? Can we go to Canada? You know, and that's where everyone's like, let's run away to Canada, you know, but looking up in the sky. I was just kept on looking in the sky, man, being like,
you know, my mom did for the law because I graduated from a town that is like 20 minutes east of an army base.
Yeah.
In Alberta. It's the main training army base for the western side of Canada for the Canadian troops.
Yeah.
And so, you know, activity buzzing around all of that. We're wondering, like, is the world going to war now? And my mom, the same thing. She kept looking in the sky every time she saw a plane. She just, like, everyone was just in fear, man. Like,
I'm right by West Point, which is a huge military base. You know, I'm not, like, right by it, you know, like, it's a few hours away, but still, like, that was also a concern. And then, like, there's nuclear stuff. It's like, what can happen? And, you know, we're right by the river, Mid-Hudson River, where, like, Civil War was for, you know? So, like, there's a lot of history around my area, you know, that's like, is anything going to be attacked here? You know, what's next? What's going to come? Who's doing this? Why did it happen? You know, it's like...
Yeah, those first 48 hours of just not knowing a narrative as to why, you know? Like, I just... It's insane. And the only thing that I've ever been able to base things off of are obviously, like, you know, your documentaries and stuff. But I remember CBS released a documentary of that guy who was following the team, the fire team. They were at the fire hall just down the road filming for a documentary, and they heard the first plane coming in, and the guy looked up in the sky, and he's the only one to get footage of the first plane hitting the building. And all those firefighters were just, you know, living their regular day, and it just,
They had no clue, you know, we were not prepared for that. You know, not at all. And we had a new president, you know, we have a new president now, you know, like Bill Clinton is now, you know, out of office. And now we have, you know,
George Bush.
Thank you. My brain slipped. I'm like, what can I hate George Bush? You know, not to get political, but hey, you know, I'm not a fan of George Bush. So I tried to erase him from my memory, you know, but right. Or was he already in office? See, now I'm forgetting. I forget. Either which way, you know, like, it was a big change in times in America, you know, and like, so many things changed after that, you know, Patriotic Act came in, you know, police got more cautious, you know, like, more stereotyping, you know, airports, you know, it's like, yeah, things just got so, so crazy. And, you know, it's starting to settle down now, and it's been 19 years.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, there's so much speculation that goes around this date, and not to take away from, you know, the honor of the fallen from today, because that's the main thing we need to remember, is that, you know, people went to work that day. You know, they just went to work. No one should ever die at work.
All the whole country,
one should die at work, you know, and just for that to happen and to completely rearrange life going forward, it's just an unprecedented thing to happen in America. And the sad thing is that there are people in countries like the ones that are stereotyped now, like you said, there's a stereotype stuff falling into place and stuff. And so there's folks that live in that kind of stuff on a regular basis. And not that it makes it any easier for them whatsoever. Right. It was the first shock for the Western culture. Right. Like, how can this happen over here? But maybe, you know, wake up. Why is it happening anyway?
Right. And, you know, I think about that. Like our friend Ari, who lives in Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when he first told me he lived in Israel, in my mind, I'm envisioning 9/11. You know, and that's happening in his living room. I'm like, dude, how? How, like, do you, like, go outside? Like, because I don't know what it's really like there. I just see what it is, you know, in the media. And I know there's a lot of war. There's a lot of, like, bombs and, you know, just a lot of stuff going on. I don't follow anything because I don't like to be depressed and know, you know, like, so I try to, you know, just do the blind eye to it. But I do have an understanding, like, there's war going on. And to live with that every day, like, we lived with the attack for one day and then getting it, you know, like rebuilding and, you know, rescuing and all that for, you know, that period. But they live with that daily.
Yeah. And see, here we are 19 years later and it still affects everybody so tremendously as if it just happened today.
Right.
You know, it's 19 years later, but it's like, geez, before you even get a chance to get over the last one, it happens again. I couldn't imagine that kind of constant stress in my life. And it's like, the jig is up, man. I keep telling my daughter that it's your generation who's going to take what, like Ari said, when I talked to him, he goes, for 2 months when COVID happened, the whole world stopped and there were no bombs. There was no attacks or anything for 2 months. That's a fucking start, bro. That is a start somewhere that we can all agree on something for at least a 2 month start. Geez, that's a lot longer than I would have ever given the world credit for.
But I
said to my kids, you know, your generation and the ones afterwards need to look back on that and say it is possible. Let's manifest more of that, because
which it will be. I mean, this is why it's all happening, you know, like, we need the history to, you know, teach ourselves, you know, and the world and the universe itself knows what it needs, you know, so it's going to, and just, you know, chaos, or, you know, is just as needed. You know, like, it creates balance. So, you know, this is needed. The world is refreshing itself right now.
That's right. Yeah. You know? And I was just reading this morning too, in a book too, it says, you know, it's kind of a gutsy thing to ask the world to accept the fact that really horrible events happen in our lives as a balance to the goodness that can come from it. And it's just such a hard thing to ask people, especially on a day like this, to like, oh, focus on the good part of all this, because really, I mean, so much tragedy all in one event. But I was, as I was driving to my sister's house just now, I said to my daughter, you know, there's the people that survived that event. Like, even as yourself, like, you weren't, like, right on the streets of Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah.
Sharice was. Her, she's coming up next, and she was there. She visibly saw the second plane enter the building.
Right, so, right. That, yeah.
You know, like, that's a whole new experience.
All that dust and all everything, the people screaming, like, being there in person, yeah. It's a lot different than being a two-hour drive away. You know, I'm a two-hour drive away from Manhattan. So, you know, I'm quite a distance from it. You know, but yeah, to be there, that experience, you know, you're smelling the smoke, you're smelling the dead bodies burning.
Oh, just a living nightmare, literally. And I just empathize with everybody who dealt with it in more of a direct way than the rest of the world, because yes, the world empathized and the world felt some sense of that, but there's no understanding what it's like to physically be right there in the middle of it.
Yeah, no, there is no true understanding, but you can empathize for it. And, you know, I'm so thankful that, like, of humans, you know, like, that we went down there, you know, that, you know, fire engine companies, you know, from my town was leaving and going to the city, you know, 2 hours away. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. You know, people from other states, you know, across country just coming to help. And, you know, that really shows, like, really what people are. And then come to these days, you know, with this epidemic of the COVID or COVID, it's like, we're still showing that, you know, we're all here together. And despite all of our differences, despite all the war, despite the conspiracies, despite all that shit, we still do come together when it's needed.
You know, stand for a common goal that it seems like a lot of us, or whoever, maybe it's the elites, right? Because whoever it is that's convincing us that it matters that we're different. I mean, I don't think it should. You know, if a friend of mine came out to me and said, hey, I'm gay, it's like, okay, awesome, you're still my friend. The things we've created
together,
friends,
matter.
Are never going to go away.
Yeah.
Right? And so for the world to really, and I hate bringing up this name, but like ISIS is a terrorist group, and I would never condone anything that they do because it's so horrible and nightmarish. But if those guys could even pull the pin on the shit that they were doing for 2 months and not do that, I mean, it kind of goes to show that even deep down inside, the harshest terrorists wants their family to live. They want their family not to be blown up. That's why people retaliate. That's
right.
Why this shit is going on.
Right. So, well, I mean, and also with the harshest terrorists, like just as you said, I don't condone them, right? But they have their cause.
They have their cause.
Whether or not they're doing it the right way, right? They still believe in something, and to them, it is the right way, and that, you know, and that's why they're so radical, or, you know, and they do these things, but there is purity in everybody's heart.
Correct. I mean, yeah, their motives.
When we show it may not be correct.
Yeah,
but
that's right. Actions and motives are different.
You know, like, there is something there that, you know, we gets lost in translation. You know, it gets lost in translation, you know?
It does, because I'm like, part of this podcast was that, you know, I want to learn from the standpoint of the person who was there. I don't want to hear about it from Trump's tweet. I don't want to hear about it from NBC. I don't want to hear about it on Facebook. I want to talk to somebody who was right there and can tell me, like, look at my conversation with Ari. I will forever go back to that, because he's
that was
taking
a great
me
podcast.
Thank you, man. Like, it was really something. It really, really, really was, because it brought that connection, you know, 9 hours away. He's into tomorrow when I'm just going to bed. Like, it's such a cool thing that, you know, we're on two different days all, you know, for a certain time period there. But for him to take me around his neighborhood when we video chat, like, I don't have the internet right now. And I said to him this morning, this is not normal, because for the last month, I wake up and have my coffee and my morning smoke, and he's on the phone talking to me, and I couldn't do that this morning. But and, you know, in your mind, like you said, you hear about Israel, you think everything's completely war-torn. It's not like that absolutely everywhere.
Right, right. Right.
So his neighborhood's beautiful to me. I'm like, dude, like, this is a place I have never laid my eyes on in my life. So thanks for showing. You know?
Right. Yeah. No. Even on during Stink Keepers, when I was talking to Ari, and can't remember her name. She also lives, you know, I believe in Israel, around Israel. That was in our cohort, and she was walking around with her sister in the city, and I'm like, oh, okay, duh, that makes sense. That there's, you know, developed, you know, cities there that are beautiful and not war torn. Like, duh, you know, like.
It just reminds
you, you know, right? And just reminds you of, like, you know, I live upstate New York. When somebody who doesn't live in New York and they hear New York, they just think of Manhattan. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay. I'm doing to them what is done to me, you know? And
it goes around because, like, that you say where you're from, I'm like, yeah, but isn't, you know, New York all the same area? I know it's not, because I know there's districts in all different cities that all make up what is New York. It's such an amazing concept.
You know, I live in a country area. I mean, I live right now in the city of Poughkeepsie. It's a very small city. It's a 2-mile radius, maybe. But we're surrounded by trees. It's called the Tree City. You know, we have trees everywhere. I could go hiking. I'm about 20 minutes away from going up mountains and, you know, like, just being in nature. And, you know, like, yeah, New York is beautiful, and it's not just Manhattan.
Yeah, it's not all concrete.
Yeah. It's not just a concrete jungle, but it's what everyone thinks of it, you know? Just like as I hear Israel, and I'm like, oh, war torn, you know, like, Ari, like, are you ducking from grenades going off in your apartment? Like, how is your door looking good? Like, why is your apartment look so nice? Like, what's going on here? You know, because we're misfed, you know, we're given misinformation by the media. Like, they only focus on the negative, you know, so that's all we know.
That's right. And that's why it's such a neat experience for so many of us who have had to sit at home. Like, there's people that say COVID is a scam or whatever. Let's say it is.
Everything is a scam.
Everything
comes out to be a scam. You know, that's our generation. That is what.
Yes, our everything's a scam nowadays. That's right. Yeah, you and me talking right now is a scam. Like,
right. We planned this. That the government planted us here together. You know.
That's right.
The Illuminati hit me up. Was like, yo, you and Tyler, you guys are going to talk about 9/11. You know, like, hey, Ian, you're going to schedule your very first podcast ever on 9/11. All right, that's what you're going to do. You know, no.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was looking at it and be like, okay, I don't usually have things going on Fridays as far as Zoom calls. And I usually will wake up late. So 3 o'clock is a good time. And that's a Friday. That's 2 weeks from now. I want to be mentally prepared for it. So let me do this on that Friday. And then I did it. And then you hit me up being like, oh, 9/11. I was like, what's he talking about? Oh, wow, I'm a dick, you know, like.
But it's funny because it wasn't an intentional booking, but honest to goodness, it's something that I very much look forward to once I put the connection together, because, you know, when you're from that area, I know that you experienced things firsthand that I only got to see on television. And, you know, like I was saying,
I only got to see it on television too, you know, I wasn't there.
No, that's true. Yeah, no.
I'm just saying that, you know, because I don't want to take credit for the people who were there, you know what I mean?
No, I appreciate that, absolutely, I do. But, I mean, you saying that you could smell the smoke in the air, that's close enough for comfort.
Well, not me, but the people who were there, I was saying, you know, for like,
oh, I misunderstood you.
You know, like, think about her, you know, she can smell that smoke. You know, like, I'm a 2-hour drive away. I couldn't, you know, like, it was terrifying.
I'm thinking of forest fires in my area. I know when they're a few hours away, it's close enough to home that you're like, oh man, this is, you know, I mean, it's not within your country, but, you know, you're definitely closer geographically than I am. But going back to the COVID.
Oh, yeah, very. You're COVID, like, what, 4,000 miles away? 6,000?
Yeah, I'm like on like the western side of Canada. Yeah. I can't smell the smoke, that's for damn sure. But yeah, like going back to, you know, let's say, you know, people say that this is a conspiracy, but it is, what a backfire it is, because is everybody sitting at home now with the internet connection and doing what you and I are doing. And so what a backfire it would be if it was a scam, because now everybody is able to connect with people in different countries and find out the things that are the truth versus right. what we've been fed by the media, like you're saying, right? And so way to go. If it is a scam, then you guys are fucking idiots, because we're all stuck at home with nothing better to do than to reach out to our fellow men.
Well, and this is another thing too, that like I have another point, but what you're saying, like it brought up another idea to me. Like this whole thing is bringing us into a new generation. It's bringing, you know, we're changing. So when 9/11 happened, like how often did you hear about conspiracy theories? Right.
None.
Right. Like I, you know, would jokingly, you know, in high school be like, oh, it's a conspiracy. But it was never like I had no even like thought that JFK assassination was a conspiracy. You know, like it was this is what happened. That's what it is, you know. Now, as humans, we always need that monster. You know, we always need a monster. And I used to follow conspiracies. And then I watched this podcast, I think it was a YouTube thing. And they totally, like, got me completely done with conspiracies just by this simple statement. You know, we can't be scared of Dracula anymore. We can't be scared of the mummy anymore. Like, those horror movies from the past where people were really legitimately scared of, you know, even back in the 1800s where they, you know, like a vampire, the theory of a vampire comes from somewhere, right? And that was the boogeyman. You know, as humans progress, things, we always have new fears to come into. So we enter into the 2000s and we get this terrorist attack. Now we create a new boogeyman. We create this idea of a conspiracy. And at the same time, we're grieving for loss, and the process of loss is blame. You know, that's a part of it. You need to blame something. You need reason. You know, you need to question it. You know, when someone close to you dies, is the whole grieving process. So now, as a community, we're all grieving the same thing, going through the process, right? Now, they couldn't find the black box for those planes, right? Right? Do you now? I used to think though that all the conspiracies were real, right? And I was like, yeah, the government knew, they had this plan. But I was thinking about this last night and thinking, you know, on our call, I was like, you know, they probably don't know who did it, but they need to give everybody something to grieve, something to get through this process. And at the same time, they have their own agenda. There are the wars with oil, right? So in a non like malicious way, we'll point the finger over here because it most likely is, right? And it's not really a conspiracy. It's just this guy is doing one, he's saying this, another guy's saying this, and these things, you know, start to, you know, wish-wash with each other, and there you have it. And you see throughout, since the 2000s, all these little movements that have come that haven't been genuine, and it feeds into the idea that conspiracies exist. Because take for instance Occupy Wall Street was created by the CIA. It's they have come out and said this. There was a group of college kids that got in some trouble, and they're like, listen, we want you to start this movement. And then they created Anonymous with a kid that got in trouble. And they said, you're going to do this. And that was the birth of that. At the same time, there was that Save Konya, I can't remember, was some guy in Africa. And it was this drug addicted dude that was in Cali. And he was like, okay, I'm going to take this warlord that is dead, and we're going to start this whole movement saying that this warlord has these people hostage and is doing this thing. And everybody bought into it. And that was right around the time as Occupy Wall Street was happening. Anonymous came out, you know, right after 9/11. Like, it was what, like 8 years after 9/11 about, you know. So that we need the monster, so we gravitate towards that.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember when that happened and how quickly it disappeared.
I almost signed up for the box. They're like, oh, we'll send you a box of all the stuff and put stickers everywhere. I was like, oh, man, I need to get on this. And then like 3 days later, I found out the report. And I was like, I felt so stupid, you know? And then at the same time, I'm watching those stupid Zeitgeist movies, you know? And the first one, I was like, yes, Zeitgeist, you know? Now think about it. I'm at this point, what, 23, working at UPS as a box unloader. Like I pick things up and put things down, right? So I'm watching a movie about financial shit, going around telling everybody, oh, this is going on, right? Now you get to the second movie. It's like, oh, yeah, more information. Get to the third movie, and you watch it at the end, and all of a sudden they reveal what they've been trying to get everybody to do, because the person who wrote the movie is building a community that he's trying to start his own utopia. And the whole entire third movie, halfway through it, is a whole entire pitch for you to give him money and move to this utopia land that he's been building. So once again, duped. So do conspiracies really exist, or are we creating them in our own head? Did the government have anything to do with 9/11 as forcing it to happen? Probably not. I do not think our presidents or our leaders are going to want to hurt us, the people that they're protecting. You know?
Yeah, that's a pretty bold move to make, to like sacrifice your own people in order to further an agenda. And obviously every single 9/11 conspiracy documentary out there follows that basic narrative, you know? And so it's so easy to agree with it because
it is. I mean, and there's so much thing. It's like that plane shouldn't have, you know, melted like it did. Those, you know, steel rods, the beams, everything shouldn't have melted like they did. You watch it and you see how it, you know, comes down as if it's a demo destruction, you know. It's like,
yeah, like, be like that.
But were you there, though? Did you build that building? Do you really understand our, you know, architect? You know, like, are the people who are telling you this online that are saying, oh, I'm an architect, I went to college for this, and this is how it goes, and so obviously this was a setup because of blah, 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 blah. Do you really know them? Do you have enough information to know if they're lying or not?
Yeah, like I could put on a white lab coat and say I'm a doctor.
Right? You know, it's like, you know? So yeah, if you're going to question the conspiracy, then why believe the conspiracy?
Yeah.
You know, why even feed into it? Because you can't change it anyway. Can't be changed anyway. And if that is the case, where else are you going to go? You know, it's like you're not going to be able to run away from your country. No, you're in another country, you're going to deal with their bullshit.
Yeah, like around and around, because you never get to the end of the rabbit hole that is a conspiracy theory. You never get to the end because
never do.
Like I said, there's so many points that made sense when you watch Loose Change. Was the first one that I watched.
Oh yeah, Loose Change too. That was also the first one. Yeah. Loose Change, you know? And then Zeitgeist and Zeitgeist 2.
I went down that rabbit hole for years.
Just propaganda.
Yeah,
all of it.
You know, yeah. I got into a fight with a guy 1 year because I questioned where the plane went in the Pentagon. I'm like, you know, it makes sense. Where does this little tiny hole come from, and where's the remnants of this plane that didn't destroy
it looks
more
like a missile. And then they stole all the camera, or they took all the footage from all the gas stations and businesses around the Pentagon that would even show it. Well, I mean, should that be public knowledge though? Should the public know where the weak spots are in the Pentagon? Like, come on now. It makes sense that they would confiscate that and investigate it. Is there a secret bunker with the planes from World Trade Center? Probably, because they probably do not know who did it and they are still investigating it. And does a detective, police detective tell you who murdered somebody when they're investigating it?
Exactly. No. Right, but everyone comes up with their own personal theory because they need to have resolution and they need to find an answer one way or another.
Right, we need to agree. We need to process. We need to understand. Yeah, we need to grow. Yeah.
Got to find a way to process it. And I mean, that's why I was excited to talk about this, because I know you've gone down the same rabbit hole I have.
Yeah.
She was there. Like, she was there. She's like, I'll tell you about the people that came out of the buildings and were bloody faced and everything. Yeah. Like, she was there, and so I get to ask her, like,
everyone says that they heard explosions prior to the buildings falling down. Like, what do you recall? And obviously everyone's going to have a different story.
But yeah.
This is my first time ever getting to openly discuss in 19 years since this happened. I mean, this is, you're the first person I've ever like looked into the eyes of that was this close to that experience. And it's something that has affected every single one of us since then.
Yeah.
In every single way.
No, it affected the whole entire world, you know, because I mean, America, you know, we, you know, like for a while we were like the richest country, you know, like now China is, you know, has the, you know, cause they have all the exports, you know, everything's coming from China now, but you know, America was the biggest, you know, country, you know, that's who we were. So it affects the whole entire world. What happens here, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It totally does. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, it's something else. I mean, and it's hard to know what to believe, but I don't care about the provided narrative anymore. Like, I'm trying to piece, you know, this together, I guess, on my own. Not like I need to figure this out.
Yeah,
well, to provide a space for people to talk about it and just hear about their experience, because I know that there is multiple a magnitude of explanations.
Of course. If you and I sat together in a room and looked at a cup, we both are going to see two different things.
That's right. Exactly. You can stare at it as long as you want.
There's yeah. Everyone has their own perception because we have our own eyes.
That's right. You know? And to allow people to all speak about it with a safe in a safe space with no judgment, it just allows everyone to process that as opposed to being, I'm the first one to have the explanation as to what happened.
Right, right. No one's ever going to have an explanation. There is no explanation. There's no explanation needed. The only thing that's needed is to realize that we all came together and we're all still here. And we all
and we can do better.
And we can do better, and we are going to do better, and we are moving forward as a culture of just the human race. We are evolving, you know, and that's just the plain thing of it. And this COVID thing, you know, like people are now able to debunk any kind of conspiracy theory because we can research. So if it is a conspiracy theory, right, we have the internet, we can figure it out really quick. So what's going to happen now is we're going to find a new boogeyman, and conspiracies are going to become, you know, cliche. It's going to be like, oh, come on now. You know, no one is going to ever believe that there's a conspiracy. No one's ever going to believe that the Illuminati is controlling the world. You know, like that, those times are now passing, which is great, you know, because we can get out of that fear, the uncontrolled fear. Who knows what the next one's going to be, right? Yeah. Right? But in my experience throughout life, the adults in our life aren't scared of the conspiracies. Right? And they have gone over their fears of their generation. So really, I don't think it's going to, like, I don't need to worry about having a new fear that I need to worry about now. You know, I don't have to worry about once conspiracies are gone, which they're gone in my life. I gave that shit up like 5 years ago or 6 years ago. I was just like, forget this stupid shit. Like,
funny, man, that's about the same thing for me. I mean, I've stuck with the 9/11 one. Like, every now and again, I'll go and see if there's any material. Because it's a captivating event, right? And you don't know what to believe. And like you said, you're looking for the monster to answer all of those questions. But I like 5-6 years ago, I really got away from trying to convince my whole world, my friends, my family, like all this shit.
And who are we to convince? And who are we to convince? You know, like I said, I was working at UPS. Like, who the hell am I? Go and tell somebody, like, this is what happened. You know, like, come on, man. I'm a musician. I'll tell you what a C, what the chord C is. That's my right. You know, I could do that. But tell you that 9/11 was created by George Bush and this happened and that, and then, yeah, forget it. Who the hell are we?
Right? I mean, it's interesting to entertain yourself with those things because movies and entertainment and all that shit, right?
Yeah, we need entertainment. We need a boogeyman, you know? We need it. We need it.
Practical real life.
Yeah.
That's awesome, bro. Cool. Well, is there anything else you wanted to chat about before we bring this guy to an end?
No, man. I mean, I think we're good. And, you know, it's, I love that we got to do this. You know, it's like, I'm like, who am I to do a podcast on 9/11 about 9/11? It's like, you know, I was 19 years old in the country watching it on TV, before that, I was a rebel. I was like, oh, wearing anarchy shirts, you know. You know what I mean? Like, anti-government, you know, like, who, you know, like, what can I say about 9/11? But obviously, I'm a grown man now, and it's like, I've processed through things, I've learned things, and I got to put out into the world my perception.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Like.
I do, I totally do, because I was 17, and, you know, just starting grade 12, and it was so weird, man. I got to school that morning, and the very first assignment our English teacher gave us was, I was going to give you this assignment about a newspaper article that was in a book, just a made-up newspaper article, and our assignment was to take that newspaper article and dissect it to find holes in it to see if there was an ulterior narrative planted in behind. He's like, mind-blowing, but you can take 9/11 and try and apply that. And so right from day one, my teacher instructed the whole conspiracy theory in the back of my head almost immediately, and I didn't even know what a conspiracy theory was.
Right,
so
right.
I was like, I don't think I chose to use 9/11 as my topic. I went with the story because I just, whatever's easiest. Get the fucking.
Of course. But I mean, well, in your conscious, or in your, like, in your mind, in your front mind, if it's conscious, subconscious, I don't know how it works, but, you know, that's just what you think. But there's always the underlying reason for it that you don't understand, that your soul understands. So there's a reason that you picked it deeper than you realize. And it will always reveal itself once you look into yourself and analyze that.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can see, and then you'll be able to utilize what it was and grow from it and give it to the people.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We are all gifts. We give ourselves, you know. When we die, we give ourselves to everybody. You know, when I die, everything I believe is going to be put out, and everyone's going to get a little piece.
Yep, that's right, man. I was telling you, man, we could go for hours.
Like,
no, for sure. And I was going to segue into that. Being said, let us never forget those people who lost their lives.
Oh, never, yeah.
Today, because they live on.
Oh, that, no, we all have gotten something from them. They gave us, you know, they did not choose to die, but they did choose to go to work that day. They did choose to be there. You know, they did not choose for that day to happen, but they're now gone, and it's only their physical body. Like, their energy was released and helped us progress as humans.
That's right.
You know, it just pushes our evolution, because we're always evolving. Because evolving is growing, and growing is life. And without growth, there's only death.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself, brother. Right on. Well, thank you so much for doing this with me, dude.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you for doing this. Like, no, thank you for believing in yourself and taking the initiative with your own self to say, I'm going to do a podcast for people. You know, like, thank you, man.
Oh, man, I appreciate those words. It's awesome, because if there's anything that means more to me, like, there's nothing that means more to me from this podcast, it is the true, absolute, raw connection that I'm getting with people. And it has progressively revealed itself to me. It was a 20-second of courage thing that Kathy had inspired me to do, and I did it, and this is where it has brought me. And so I'm grateful that you're thankful for it, because that's what it's for. It's not only for me, it's for absolutely everybody out there. So thank you for your appreciation, and
selflessness, you know, that's what it's about, you know, because we're all one being, so
that's right, exactly. All right, bro, well, you have a great weekend, and we will I'll send you a link, and we'll book another one so we can talk about your music.
Awesome, and have a great meeting. I look forward to listening to the next speaker that you're going to be with. Cannot wait to hear her perspective. All right, man.
Yeah, all right, thanks so much.
All right, man, have a great day, man.
Yeah, you too. Peace.
Thank you, Ian, for being on this special edition episode of This Is Your Show. Taking the time to tell us your story meant a lot to me. If you're listening, please stay tuned to our next episode with Charisse Arrington. She was actually on a train on her way into New York and witnessed the second plane hitting the second tower. My name is Tyler Friedel. This is your show. Thank you for listening.